Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This happened in 2020 to 2022. Over the course of the time that I lived in this apartment,
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With me being 21 female at the time, and my husband, but then boyfriend, 22 male at the time, moved into our downstairs apartment. We loved it. It was our first place that wasn't a dorm, and we didn't have roommates. When we first moved in, we only had one cat. But over time, we ended up with two cats and a dog. The way this apartment was set up was duplex style, so each building only had four apartments. Two on the bottom and two on the top. We have the bottom right apartment, and behind us was a cemetery. We would always joke that at least our neighbors are quiet. Well, we were wrong. The first time our upstairs neighbor had an issue, he stood outside of his apartment and slammed his door open and closed for 10 minutes. We could not figure out what we did wrong. He wouldn't communicate with us over what the issue was, but anytime we did something wrong in his mind, he would slam his door open and close for 10 minutes, shaking our whole apartment. The night before I was flying out for our wedding, we spent a whole day at work, and then we went to a dinner for a late night meal, trying to have a nice night as our last night together as fiancés. We come home and I'm having an anxiety attack about if I packed everything. My fiancé is at the passenger side door trying to talk me through my anxiety attack, when our neighbor comes flying down the stairs yelling at us. Something about how we made noise all day, and he could not believe that we were so inconsiderate of him. My fiance yells at him to fuck off, as he's trying to protect me. Once we get inside, my fiance goes upstairs to talk to him. We figure out it's the cat tree, and every time our cat jumps on it, it hits the wall. Okay, that was easy enough. We move the cat tree from the wall. We return home for our honeymoon, and we think everything is good. My husband tries to befriend the neighbor as they both play online video games. And my husband asks if, instead of slamming the door, could he message us on Discord when he has an issue? He agrees, but that doesn't happen. I decide to call the apartment complex and let them know what happened. And they're understanding and say, okay, let's reach out to property managers who are the other upstairs apartment. The husband of the property manager team basically tells us that we are making everything up, because he would know if his neighbor was slamming the door for 10 minutes straight, and stop making waves. It's now the end of 2021, and I have spent my time in this apartment in fear every single day. Rent was dirt cheap, like $600 for a one bedroom, so we were going to tough it out. My husband gets told that he got a promotion and we are moving to the East Coast. And we are excited. So he leaves and I finish packing up the apartment. I try my best to be the perfect neighbor now that my husband is gone. I even use my earphones for everything and anything. I close stuff very slowly and try not to make much noise. It's now a week before I start the drive across the country. My friend and people from my husband's work are helping load up our U-Haul box for the day. After that, my friend and I decided to go in town for the rest of the day since my apartment is empty, besides a bed on the ground. I drop her off at her house and then get home at 6 p.m. I decide to put my earphones in vacuum. After I vacuum, I take out the trash and lock the front door as I was going to lie down and watch TikToks. My husband was always on my case because I would often forget to lock the front door. I lay down with my earphones in and watch TikToks for maybe 20 minutes when I hear someone at my front door pounding on it. I know that voice. It's my upstairs neighbor. My dog is trying to crawl into my skin. Meanwhile, my male cat is at the window hissing at him. He's pounding on my windows now and he's yelling that he's going to kill me. I call my mom, who's 4 states away. She tells me to call 911 and not her. I'm texting my husband also and another friend. I'm whispering to 911 that my upstairs neighbor is at my door threatening me. I then hear him trying to open up my front door. Since it's a small town, cops are there very quickly. They take him away finally, and I'm left in my living room with 2 police officers. I just keep asking if he's gone. They assure me that he's going to jail for the night. My friend, who lived an hour away, had loaded up her husband in the car and drove to my apartment to get me. I spent the night at my friend's house that night. My mom arrived the next day, and I called the apartment complex again to tell them what happened. They finally believed me. Well, they had no choice. I sent them the police report. My mom and I start the drive to the East Coast early, as I wanted to close that chapter, and I wasn't sleeping with the nightmares. We are in the middle of the Midwest when someone from the hospital he was committed to calls me to tell me that they released him, but I needed to call the cops for an order of protection because he was still threatening my life. I said I was halfway across the country, so he can't get to me now. He said that was for the best, given his hatred towards me. We never found out what the final straw was. If it was me vacuuming at 6 p.m, but I always locked the front door now. I couldn't be left alone for months. I was constantly checking to see if he had found where we moved to. In 2023, we came to a plea agreement since he moved home to his parents in Alaska. That if he got mental health help, I would drop the charges. We now have a pit bull who is being trained to guard me at night so I can sleep. I always lock the front door when I enter my apartment. This incident happened about 5 years ago. This is a story that I'd never really tell anymore because most people are either uncomfortable hearing it or make well-meaning comments about what I should have done in this situation, without really understanding how differently your mind works when you're experiencing absolute panic. But you guys seem to get it, so here's my story. I was living in a relatively nice apartment in downtown Memphis, working as an ophthalmic technician. I arrived home from work at my usual time, around 4:30 p.m. Unlocked my door and went inside. I set my phone, wallet, and keys on the kitchen island, hearing my heavy metal front door swing shut loudly behind me, and began taking care of some errands around the house. Having grown up in a small town, it was a habit for me to not lock my door during the day, especially when I knew my husband would be home soon anyway. I've never forgotten to lock my door once in the 5 years since this day. I walked through my bathroom and into my large walk-in closet and began hanging up the laundry that I started earlier in the day before work. My front door opened and I smiled with surprise. My husband was home a little early and I was happily called out to him. "I'm in here, love." I was met with silence and slowly began to feel that sinking feeling of something is wrong crawl up my spine. I tried to shake it off, thinking my husband simply hadn't heard me, and walked out into my living room kitchen area. Standing on the other side of my kitchen island was a complete stranger. He was male, older than me, I would estimate 50s, but it's hard for me to recall exact facial features or details from this moment, and was just standing there, staring at me. No ski mask, no weapon, just watching me. I wondered if he had maybe walked into the wrong apartment and was going to apologize and leave. As he continued to stare, I realized I needed to do something other than just gape at this stranger in my house. I stood taller, puffed up my chest in an attempt to look more threatening, which was hard to do as a small female, and used a loud, clear voice telling him to get out of my apartment, that he had no business being there. He completely ignored me like I hadn't even spoken. Then he began to pick up my things, my cell phone, my keys, my wallet. He picked them up methodically and put them in his own pockets. That's when it really hit me that person was dangerous. I was naive enough to believe this was all a mistake until that moment. I darted forward toward the only other device that I had that would allow me to get help, my computer. I had to take a few steps closer to the intruder in order to reach it, but still had about 15 feet between us, so I knew I could grab it and run before he could reach me. As I picked it up and turned to run, I saw him start to move after me, and I sprinted back toward the bathroom because it was the only place I could go and put two locked doors between us. I slammed and locked the first door, and within seconds, I could hear him messing with it, trying to open it. I ran into the closet and locked that door too, opening my computer and getting on Facebook Messenger to contact my husband. I sent messages after messages, pleading with him to call 911 and tell him there was an intruder in the apartment. He got the messages within minutes and assured me that he had a dispatcher on the phone and was leaving work himself to try and get to me if he could. I waited and waited. The bathroom door opened and the intruder came inside. He moved to the closet door and started trying to break that door down too. Here's the part where people start giving me advice on how I should have acted, but all I can tell you is that I was frozen, with fear, with shock, I don't know. But I didn't scream or cry or search for a weapon in that dark closet. I didn't brace the door or try to hold it closed. I just kneeled in my closet and waited to die because I just knew that's what was going to happen. People like to tell me that I live in an apartment. Surely if I'd screamed, someone would have heard and come to help. Surely there was something heavy enough in my closet to use to defend myself. Hell, even the laptop I had wouldn't hurt if I had swung it at someone. So why didn't I do anything? I don't really have an answer for that, but the closet door somehow held. I heard frustrated footsteps go back out into the living area of my apartment. I heard things breaking, bottles shattering, my drawers and refrigerator and cabinets being flung open as things were torn out of them. I continued to sit in that closet, silently crying, wanting to leave, but feeling that death was inevitable. I feel awful about my selfishness in that moment, but I messaged my mom, who lived in a 15-hour drive away, and told her what was happening. I desperately wanted comfort and to tell her how much I love her. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine the fear and helplessness I put her through, knowing her daughter was in danger and there was nothing she could do to help. She messaged me constantly, begging me to keep replying. I told her I would as long as I could, but I also told her to tell my brothers I loved them, to help my husband through whatever happened next if it ended badly for me.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1. Download Rocket Money. Step 2. Link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3. Create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The intruder started messing with the closet door again, mumbling disjointed words that I couldn't really distinguish. I remember hoping that the police would get to the apartment before my husband, that he wouldn't be the one to find me in whatever state this invader left me in. The front door opened again, and it was my husband, shouting for me. The intruder walked out toward the living room kitchen area again, where my front door was located. and I opened the door and darted from the closet to find my husband on the ground with him, pinning him in place. The man kept mumbling, at times yelling, but never really put up much resistance. This entire part is a blur for me. I remember feeling like the room was spinning, filled with fear, mostly for my husband at this point. Eventually, the police found the apartment. It took them like 25 minutes to arrive, which still blows my mind. I know time seems to move slowly during scary situations, so I thought it was less than that. From the time my husband dialed 911 to the time the officers arrived, it was 25 excruciating minutes. This isn't intended to bash them in any way. It just always seemed like this was an unusually long response time for a home invasion. They got my things back from the man and took him out of my apartment. I numbly went through the process of filing a police report, telling them what happened. One of the officers commented that I should really keep my door locked at all times. I remember feeling like he was being insensitive at the time or blaming me for what happened, but later recognized his words were coming from experience. I'm sure he's seen this situation and differently for other women. Within 30 minutes, the scariest incident of my life was over, but I've carried the fear, the violation, and the anxiety of having someone intrude into my space for years. If it happened to me once, it could happen again. This took place several years ago when I was 18 and freshly enrolled in college. I grew up in an extremely strict household. Asian female, by the way. My parents set my curfew at 8 p.m. I wasn't allowed to drive at night or go to parties, etc. Anyway, you could see how once I moved out of the house, I relished any opportunity to exercise my new freedom and independence. One night at around 11 p.m., I got super hungry and had a real craving for an Arby's roast beef sandwich. My roommate was tired and didn't want to go with me, so I hopped in my car and decided to make a quick trip by myself. To get to Arby's, I had to take a stretch of road that was really secluded and not well lit. Of course, at that time of night, there were barely any cars on the road. At a stoplight, just a few blocks from the Arby's, I was the third car waiting at the red light. Car A was in the very front, car B was behind it, and I was behind car B. There was a last car, car C, that was behind me. All of a sudden, I guess he must have thought the light had turned, but it was still red. The car in front of me stepped on the gas and lurched forward, tapping the back of the car in front of him. The two drivers immediately got out and started looking at the damage. Neither of them was hurt, and there was little to no damage that I could see made to either car. I had no idea what to do in that situation. Again, I was a dumb 18-year-old just ejected into the adult world, and I had never witnessed an accident of any kind before. Was I supposed to stick around as a witness or something? I wasn't sure, but I felt very uneasy about the idea of getting out of my car in the middle of the night on a really isolated road to talk to these two guys. Especially when I didn't think they needed my intervention at all. Again, it was a super minor fender bender and they were talking about it civilly, though they didn't move their cars. So when the light turned green, I decided to just move over into the other lane and proceeded on my way. Again, this may have been the wrong thing to do, but I didn't know any better. The car that had been behind me did not like that I was trying to leave. To this day, I have no idea what they were thinking. At the time, I thought they must have thought I caused the accident or something. Anyway, as I shifted over to the other lane to leave, they started blasting their horn at me. I got super scared and proceeded down the road, past the green light, and car C, the one behind me, took off after me. What ensued was still the most terrifying experience I ever had. The car, which I could dimly see, had two male figures in the front seat, followed me closely for quite a while, occasionally blasting their horn aggressively. They would speed up until they were just about to hit the back of my car. I was starting to get really freaked out, so I started making random turns to lose them or to see if they were really following me. They definitely were. I made three left turns, and they were still on my tail. Eventually, the car pulled over into the lane beside me and kept speeding up and nudging into my lane, as if trying to cut me off or run me off the road. I was actually crying now, and I had called my then-boyfriend, telling him what was happening. I initially wanted to drive to his house, but then I realized I didn't want these psychos knowing where he lived. Tried to avoid making eye contact with the two men in the car beside me. Tried not to let them intimidate me off the road. They kept blaring the horn, then eventually the driver rolled down the window. I was too scared to talk to him, but I could hear what he screamed clearly through my window, which had a slight gap in the top that never sealed up. "We're going to catch you, bitch. I'm going to kill your dumb ass." I think the guy next to him said something like, "Don't slow down," or something, but I couldn't hear it as clearly over the rushing of the wind and the sounds of our cars accelerating. My boyfriend heard them shouting over the phone and directed me to the nearest police station, which was about 8 miles away from where I was. It was actually hard for him to find the police station or to give me directions to it, because I had no idea where I was. Two guys kept shouting things at me, but I don't know what else was said, because I was too busy blubbering to my boyfriend. Maybe, it's really hard to remember what went on in those moments, physically. I was speeding so fast to try to get away from these guys at this point, that I was hoping a cop would stop me. There were no cars on any of the roads we went down, and it just made everything worse and worse. And then my phone battery decided it was time to die. I seriously thought I was one of those horror movies my parents had always told me about. Eventually, I finally saw the police station my boyfriend had given me the directions to, almost drove past it, and turned into the parking lot. The car followed me in, and the passenger door actually opened before the car even stopped. But then I think they noticed where they were, and they drove out of there fast. I sat in my car, too terrified to get out because I thought moving would provoke them into coming back. Literally 60 seconds later, my boyfriend pulled into the parking lot next to my car and climbed out with a baseball bat. He held me there for a little while, and then a cop who was pulling into the lot or something, coming out of the building, approached us and asked if everything was okay. Turns out that car had tailed me to fit the description of a car that had apparently scared a girl so badly. Same type of thing late night, empty road, lone driver, and super aggressive driving and screaming as she crashed her car into a tree and a divider, trying to get away from these guys. Neither she nor I got a license plate though, and to this day, I don't know if they ever caught those guys. I don't know what kind of human being get their kicks out of terrorizing female drivers late at night on the road, but...
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Whoever they were, screw those guys. I hope someone somewhere managed to put a stop to them.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.